With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to Zone Time. I'm Julian. Avery is here. Omar from In the Mentions is here. Sam from the broadcast is here. I wish we could start off the show with some great positivity and fun stuff. And we were doing jokes last week. And well, after this weekend, we're in for another heavy start in the hockey world. You may have been watching the Toronto Blue Jays blow it in the playoffs when you heard the news that Andrea Skinner was resigning from Hockey Canada. And that, of course, led to a domino effect of so many other things, like Steve Simmons coming for Akeem Alou, and then the hockey world coming back for Steve Simmons as a result. Very serious allegations towards Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman Ian Cole, in which the NHL is investigating, and the Lightning has since suspended him. And a trainer for the Bakersfield Condors also being dismissed for some very serious allegations towards him as well. Like, one thing after another over this weekend. I'm sure there's some stories, you know, we can kind of just leave as is. Omar, is there one story out of the ones that I kind of mentioned that kind of stands out to you a little bit more? I have a good guess, but I'd like to know from your standpoint.
Yeah, well, first off, like, every single thing that you mentioned is just horrible, and it gets to the point where it's just like when can we just like get to a point where we're just complaining about refs and stuff and penalties and whatever
next week,
like, I mean, sure, hopefully, but like there's all those other all these other things that are taking place, which are, again, horrible. But like the Steve Simmons thing, I woke up that Sunday morning and just, I don't know, just a despairing type of feeling, because articles like the ones that Steve Simmons wrote are the most dangerous. Specifically for the fact that it mitigates experience. And this is something that Wayne Simmons touched on Twitter after the fact, but it, when you get into the situation of, again, specifically focusing on Akeem Alou's story and the whole thing being like, well, no, you know, it had nothing to do with race, had nothing to do with this, just because he wasn't a good player and so on and so forth. But like over the last couple of years now, we've learned and we got an opportunity to know the experience of what he went through on the ice, off the ice, when it comes to his family, all of these stories. He had this amazing Players Tribune article that came out. And then from there, we have the creation of the Hockey Diversity Alliance, where those players in that group shared their stories as well. They put up that extremely heavy but powerful video last year showing some of the messages that they get just from being who they are. And that's it. Last year in the playoffs with Kadri, getting a whole bunch of racist messages from St. Louis Blues fans. And the thing that bothers me the most about it is that the counterpoint to the article is that, well, okay, well, what happened to Akeem Alou when you have players like Wayne Simmons, who's playing over 1,000 NHL games? That has nothing to do with anything that Wayne Simmons or any player of color had to experience at all. I definitively remember Wayne Simmons, when he was still on Philadelphia, playing a preseason game in London, Ontario, taking a penalty shot, and someone threw a freaking banana on the ice. So being good at hockey or being a skilled player, having a long career, doesn't mitigate what you experience at all. And I think that's the thing that bothers me the most. And to connect that point, the response from it, I think, has been a huge positive. A lot of people saying, what the heck is this? Like, and again, beyond the idea of like, oh, another bad Steve Simmons article. Yes, I said that. Another bad Steve Simmons article. But the fact of the danger that comes with it, and a lot of people talking about how this can be dangerous, and members of the Hockey Diversity Alliance coming out and specifically mentioning it and saying how it's bad. I want to say again, it was Simmons who brought up the idea that it seems as if you're trying to create divisions amongst members of the Hockey Diversity Alliance, whether it was on purpose or by accident, but that can't be the focus. So again, seeing an article like that on a platform like the Toronto Sun, which a lot of people do read still, is just disheartening and horrible. And I don't know what consequences can come from it. I don't even know if any consequences will come from it. But I think the fact that everyone was still talking about it, and you had Akeem Eliou have a video about it, Wayne Simmons talked about it, Nazem Kadri talked about it, Anthony Duclair quote tweeted Akeem Eliou as well. I think all of that is going to be the positive I'm going to choose to focus on from this.
Before I just let anyone else speak on this, the wildest thing about the Steve Simmons commentary, this wasn't like a full article where he focused on this. This was just like a blurb and like a column that he did. This is literally the full extent of Steve Simmons and what he said. No one wants to say this because of the politically correct police and all, but those who coached Akeem Eliou must cringe every time they see him in a news report or commercial talking about what's wrong with hockey. Like he would know. By my count, Eliou's played for 23 teams in 9 different leagues in 12 professional seasons and rarely finished any season with the same team he started with. If that was color related, how is it that Wayne Simmons spent just about 12 seasons playing in the NHL? That is it. That's all he wrote about all of this. And he managed to get this so wrong. I want to make sure we get other people to touch the floor. Sam, I don't know if you want to go in first or do you want to let Avery go first?
I'll let Avery go first.
Go ahead.
Plain and simple, that was disgusting. That was disgraceful. It was embarrassing. And the fact that Steve Simmons would have the gall to say coaches must cringe, when this all came down, when this all broke from Bill Peters saying the N-word, to say that and to say, how would you know? To a black man, Steve Simmons, you are out of line, you're out of pocket, and you should apologize. You're an embarrassment.
It doesn't seem like a guy who's going to apologize. I don't know if you guys saw the tweet from him on Monday morning where he tweeted out a seemingly positive article about Wayne Simmons and said, well, Wayne Simmons should have forgotten about this. Well, it's not should have, but that he seemingly forgot about this, as if to say, like, you know, well, hey, I wrote nicely about a black man one time. But that's what this reads like, man.
So
like, he's telling on himself. The part that just blows it for me, if that was color related, it's like he had this built-in racial defense. Be like, hey, man, you can't come for me about how I'm coming at Akeem Eliou. This has nothing to do with racism. But like, come on. It's dog whistling. It's like, literally what that is.
The entire thing has to do with racism. If you've been following...
That's his entire...
if you've been following everything that came out, it literally is the thing. This is the thing that we want to get out of hockey, right here. So I just don't understand. What was the intention? What was the point? I think that's my big question. What was the impetus behind this article? What did you want to try to get out of this? Because I don't know. I don't know. And I would like to think they weren't trying to purposely, you know, harm a lot of people's well-being, hopefully. But I don't understand what the purpose of the article was.
Sam.
I had somebody say to me, like, oh, he was making valid points about his career. Well, the whole point about the Akeem Eliou story is that there are plenty of white players who are dogged by character issues who make it through the league. And when they play for this many teams or whatever, we don't say, oh, he didn't have a successful NHL career. We call them a journeyman. So what's the point of making this about how many teams he's been on and saying, oh, it's not about race? It's clearly about race. If it wasn't about race, you wouldn't have had to say politically correct police. You wouldn't have had to say color related. Like, the entire point of this was about race. And for him to pretend like it wasn't is disingenuous. Like, if you're gonna be racist like that, just own it. Like, it's the least transparent thing possible. And you know, to Omar's point, Omar said it's another bad Simmons article. I don't think we have to call it another bad Simmons article. All Simmons articles are bad. Like, that's his baseline. His baseline is shit takes.
Man, I mentioned Michael Tracos last week, Steve Simmons this week. It's just, is this podcast just going to turn into like a show where we just badmouth some journalist every week? When's Jim Matheson going to come back into this?
Oh my God.
Sorry, on that point though, what really irritates me is the people we have seen calling this out are players of color and journalists of color. Like, you had Kayla Gray calling him out. Mm-hmm. Where is the PHWA on this? Where is the PHWA? Where are the white sports writers calling Simmons out for these takes?
I'll tell you this. When Nazem Kadri spoke about this on Monday, Salim Valji, a friend and colleague, a friend of the show, he's the one who asked him the question.
Ian Kennedy as well has been
Ian Kennedy has been very consistent on covering these stories, but I'd like, like, you know, we want to see more of that.
Yeah.
It shouldn't just be on people of color to call these things out.
Exactly. Yep. It's the thing where it doesn't matter your color, your background. We all have to do it. All the mainstream guys, all the bloggers, all the podcasters. It cannot just be people of color. Like, we need more. We need our allies to step up and not just say, oh, I'm going to turn my head and not watch. No, you got to watch it. You have to acknowledge it. You have to say something, or else the culture of hockey will not change with your silence. It won't.
Yeah.
And we have to call up people like Steve Simmons.
And I think we've seen a lot of examples of the dangers of staying silent. And I think over the last couple of years, we've seen the kind of impact that is made from not being silent, from whether it's a comment, reaching out to someone, asking questions. Maybe you read the article and didn't understand why it was a big deal. Okay, look it up. Take a step back and look it up, because there will probably be a lot of people, unfortunately, who are saying like, oh, what's the big deal? A lot of people are just exaggerating. What was this Twitter? But no, this isn't a Twitter thing. That was a hurtful article. Again, regardless of intention.
Could you imagine going through whatever harmful racial abuse or any terrible things that Akeema Lew has gone through throughout his career as a hockey player? There is a list of stuff out there. I'm not trying to paint him as this perfect person, but he has endured some terrible things during his hockey career. Imagine going through all that and trying to at least be some kind of positive arbiter of change by calling out these issues in hockey, and then some dude in a blurb says, oh, because you played for all these different teams, why should you tell us all what's wrong with hockey?
Yeah.
Like even if you don't want to put a race into it, like this guy's played for that many teams, he's adjured what he's adjured. Yeah, I'd like to know what he thinks is wrong with hockey. Like, he would, I just think it's so short-sighted on the part of Steve Simmons. And unfortunately for a guy like him, I've never met the guy. I don't know if I'll ever meet the guy, but just between that and some of the other ridiculous stories that he's done over the last little while, I'm not surprised that he would have that short-sighted view.
Yeah. And then even to that point on the other side, imagine being a player of color who, same thing, who would endure a lot, went through a lot of things growing up within hockey, for lack of better words, tougher journey as far as like the outside world always being applicable to your hockey world. Imagine having all of that stuff and then someone saying, well, you know, it's okay, you had a long NHL career, so it was whatever. Obviously it couldn't have been that bad if you're in the game for so long. Like, that's what bothers me the most. That's like the main like critique I see for a lot of people who are always, I guess, on the other side of the argument. Well, how can there be issues in hockey as it pertains to race if you have player X, Y, Z, Q, G who played like a long career? Like, being able to, you know, having the skill and having the ability of as a player to I don't know, transcend all of the filth, does it mitigate the fact that the filth was still there? And I'm so sick and tired of people using the star players of color as evidence for why issues don't exist. I'm so sick of it, because no, like they do exist. They do. And in fact, in some ways it can even be worse, because sometimes as that quote unquote star player of color in the locker room, you see and hear a lot of crap. And you know, if you say something about it, you're off the freaking team. You're considered a bad influence, a cancer in the room. So like, so stop it. Stop using players of color who had successful careers. Stop using their stories as means of saying that these issues don't exist. Stop it. Just stop. And I'm so sick of it.
You have to stop. I think that's a good way to, I mean, unless anyone else has anything else pressing they want to add, I think that's a good way to end that particular segment of that show. I think that's really strong. I think that's very well said, Omar. But yeah, bad. Just again, I don't mean to, you know, start the podcast again with heavy stuff. You know, once the NHL season begins, we will have, you know, more fun stuff. I'm sure someone will do something ridiculous and we'll be a lot more jovial and lighthearted. But I guess we could start with some more NHL preview stuff. We did try to start an NHL season preview last week, just with some, you know, throwing out some potential predictions here and there. I was trying to think we could do a little bit more on the awards side, as we do kind of try to transition out of the darker stuff into the lighter stuff this week. Again, hopefully more episodes will focus more on lighter stuff. Yeah, let's start with a rookie of the year pick from everybody. I think with guys like Owen Power and Matty Beniers doing their thing this year, we could be in for some really good rookies. We know Mort Sider won last year. I'm going to start off just easily saying Matty Beniers made me change my mind for the rookie of the year pick. I was very much on the Owen Power train. I really wanted him to come out of 2022 with an Olympic gold medal, a World Junior gold medal. I think he was in the Frozen Four this year. He was playing in college with Michigan. Like, dude could have won a world championship already. Like, this is a dude who could be winning all this different hardware, and hasn't really made that much of an impact in the NHL yet. And he could very well win the Calder Trophy. And I was ready to give him that until I watched Matty Beniers play preseason with Seattle. That dude can skate. He can score. And he looks like a guy the Kraken should be building their franchise around for the next how many years. This is a guy who's ready to play at the National Hockey League level. He's ready to produce at a high level. And as someone who now has to watch more games in the Pacific Division, I am looking forward to watching Matty Beniers how many games out the year. I'm picking him for Rookie of the Year. Like, I think he's going to be that good. Owen Power might be second, and it is very hard for defensemen to win anyway. But Matty Beniers is going to be my pick for Rookie of the Year. Trust me, you were going to see like highlights from him at some point this year, and y'all going to be like, man, I wish I watched him play a little bit more. Well, actually, maybe Omar might be the only person on this panel who might do that because we are all on the West Coast. But Matty Beniers is my pick. Avery, who's your pick for Rookie of the Year?
Julian, I will co-sign with you, Matty Beniers. Again, as people have watched him in the preseason, you know, you're right. His skating is marvelous. His shot's great. And he's playing on a Kraken team that's improved quite a bit last year. Seattle went out, had a good offseason. So he's surrounding with guys like Burakovsky, Oliver Bjorkstrand. And I think the Kraken might give Beniers a good chance of winning the Calder this year. We saw him last year in his 10 games. He had 9 points in 10 games last year. And Beniers is a strong future of the offensive juggernaut for the Kraken. So I'm going to go Beniers as well, Julian.
Whoa. You used the J word there, juggernaut. We got to be careful about the usage of that word.
Why is that? Why is that, Julian?
You not listen to Chris Johnston?
Chris, who? No, I'm joking. No, I'm kidding. I'm just playing. I'm just playing, Chris. Don't hurt me.
All right. Sam, who's your pick for Rookie of the Year?
I laughed when you said Matty Beniers because that was my pick.
Of course you wrote for the Michigan person.
Of course she does.
They're all Michigan players.
That's actually true. They're stacked.
Yeah,
because Matty Beniers. Yes, Matty Beniers should be it. So, Omar, are you going to make this unanimous?
No, I'm going to go on the Owen Power train, and for 1 point and 1 point only. Listen to me, friends, as I speak. Because
here
we
go, people. Yes, it's time. Matty, it's time. It is time. Omar, yes, yeah,
get your
go
popcorn ready.
A
get your
long
ready.
Tirade for about 4 or 5 minutes. Get yourself maybe food, not four. Get yourself props. Like... Enjoy yourself for the next few minutes. Put yourself on mute because Omar has something to say.
I'm going to hold myself like 2 minutes tops here. Okay, so you all have mentioned some amazing points, right? As it pertains to Matty Beniers, fast skater, skill, can obviously, you know, produce at the NHL level, Grant, given what you've been doing in the preseason. There is one fact that you are forgetting, though. Matty Beniers will play the Toronto Maple Leafs once, twice maybe. but Owen Power
what?
Is in the
What does
same,
this have to do with
Owen,
anything?
Listen to me. Owen Power is in the same division as the Leafs. And Owen Power's first NHL game against the Leafs, I saw some things that were concerning. I saw a 29-year-old body or a 29-year-old skill, you know, maturity in like a 21-year-old frame. Like the Owen Power, the maturity that he has, like the, how quick he was able to acclimatize himself to the NHL, you know, how it seemed as if like everything was kind of like focused and drawn around him. And again, when you're playing in the East against teams like the Leafs, that rhymed, there's going to be a lot of hype around that. So I'm just so on one point, just to kind of be again different from the rest of the crowd, because you know we have three Matty Berniers people. I'll see Owen Power again. Yes, the Leafs angle is kind of a joke, but I do think he's going to be relied upon a lot in Buffalo, even though Rasmus Dahlin is there. I don't think it'll take long for Owen Power to kind of transcend himself as the number one on that team. And then when you have, you know, the skilled players that Buffalo's going to have up front, especially if they can get their power play going, like they may be a team that'll have to win games like 7-5 or like 8-6 or whatever. And that'd be a lot of production opportunity for Owen Power. So that's how I'm kind of going with there.
I think that was about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Avery, what were you eating just now?
Oh, this man's still on mute.
He's still muted.
He's muted. No.
You actually took that to heart. Yes. What were you eating?
I was eating crackers.
You like threw the box behind you. You should keep it. So at least show us the brand. I mean, they're not sponsored.
It's
by
a
like
brand from the UK. UK brand. Doro.
Oh. Why do you have UK branded crackers at home? Why did you bring them from England or whatever?
Someone brought them for me from England.
Oh, geez. Oh. You have like a courier who just like sends you biscuits?
Secret. Can't say. What? Can't be on camera. Why?
Oh, wow. Okay. So we just learned on the show that Avery has some kind of mysterious UK plug who said
secret biscuit hookup.
Yo, I have juice in my fridge from France, from Paris.
How?
Why do you have all this exotic stuff? <Like how? laughs> What is this? Okay. Do you have the Michael Jackson jacket? Then you have all this stuff. Like, I don't want to know what is coming out next from you, man. Yeah. What about your league MVP? Give you a league MVP this year. Avery, we'll start with you. I mean, are we going to go unanimous on this? I was going to go different.
League MVP. I think it's going to be hard for me to not say this year, Connor McDavid. Once again, motivated, wants to win a cup, will do anything to get there, and he'll go through any body. So I think, again, we've got Connor McDavid putting up a bazillion points, a bazillion assists, and maybe, just maybe, the first Connor McDavid 50-goal campaign as well.
A 50-goal season in he did that last year.
McDavid, He didn't get 50.
He didn't get 50. I don't think so. No, I think it was just Matthews, Kreider, and Draisaitl.
Yeah, he just missed 50.
Connor didn't. Yeah. I think this is the year we had a McDavid 50 goal year. I think like he can do it. I mean, he could do whatever he wants to. Just he's more of a playmaker, but he could do whatever he wants to. I think this is the first McDavid 50 goal campaign in his MVP season.
Damn, he did miss it. He was at 44 goals in 80 games. He had his best year last year, and he didn't win MVP because Austin Matthews scored 60 goals.
Yes. What's the problem?
No, I have no issue with that. I'm just highlighting that. That's the thing. Why did you get so defensive?
I'm just saying. I was like, was there another point? Yes, he did.
No. Omar, who's your pick for league MVP?
As a joke, I was going to say Matthews again. However,
you don't have to joke about that.
No, I mean, I think it is definitely possible. And you know, if he puts up another 60 goal season, then who knows? I'm going to go a little off the board here.
Okay. So we're not going unanimous.
There are
Michael Bunting.
There's no, because then we wouldn't be able to afford him.
you don't want Michael Bunting making Kirill Kaprizov money this soon.
No. If you can do the same thing you did last year, I'll be fine. Anything else, I'd be concerned. There's a few names that we used to talk about a lot in the league, mm-hmm. who we don't talk about anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been a while since Sidney Crosby decided, you know what?
No
I'm
way.
Sick and tired of this.
I oh,
I, like I think
that's true.
No one is talking about Pittsburgh. They almost lost Malgin. Malkin. No, not
Dennis Malkin.
They almost lost Malkin. There was that whole thing there. They brought back Letang. So, like, and again, no one is talking about Pittsburgh at all. And from what I've noticed in my years as a hockey fan, the years where we forget about Crosby are the years where Crosby knocks on the door and says, hey, I'm still here. So I don't know if it'll be from a production point, perhaps. I don't know, but I'm gonna throw a vote to Sidney Crosby and say maybe he snaps a little and gives Pittsburgh one final true let's go for it run.
When's the last year Sidney Crosby won a league MVP?
I actually don't know.
It's 2014. So you're saying he would be, you want him to win his first Hart Trophy in 8 years. Well, 9 years, I guess.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
That'd be pretty epic.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty epic. Also, remember with Pittsburgh, before we get to Sam, if you really think about it, goaltending kind of denied them long playoff runs, and not Sidney Crosby. Just going to throw that out there. Mm-hmm. Sam, your league MVP pick before I say mine.
I'm also going off the board.
Hey. Okay, good. So I'm very relieved. We're all not just going to pick Connor McDavid.
I'm going to say it's going to be Cale Makar.
Oh, I like that one.
I
know it's a stretch. I know it's hard for defensemen to win the Hart. And I know this also sounds crazy, but I actually don't know that we've seen peak Cale Makar.
Nope.
Oh,
I think he will continue to get better. And if you look at what he's done already, like, I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know what that looks like, but I want to see it. And if he does it, I think he wins the Hart.
Pop quiz. Who's the last defenseman to win the Hart Trophy? I don't know if this helps. Was on the cover of an NHL game. Was won a Stanley Cup. He's won at least one, if I remember. Has played for a Canadian team. It might have actually gone to that final with that Canadian team. No longer active. We were talking about him a lot because he was trying to give financial advice on Twitter.
Chris Pronger?
Yep. 1999, 2000, the last defenseman to win the Hart Trophy. Chris Pronger. Yep. You have to go all the way back to the 2000 season to figure out what was the last defenseman to win the Hart Trophy. Man, I like the fact that that's pretty big.
Cale Makar, man. If you have Cale Makar, like, putting up the numbers he was putting up last year, like, there are a lot of forwards I would kill to have at least the goal production that he had last year. And if he does that and improves, then I don't know how you don't. Oh, man.
You know, man. My pick, Avery, you made a really good point earlier about Connor McDavid, about a guy who is extremely motivated to win the Stanley Cup. I think for him, he's doing everything he can to do that, to the point that I don't know if he cares all that much about winning a Hart Trophy or if he's going to do all that much to do that. And maybe that benefits a guy like Leon Draisaitl, a guy who's been slandered too much on this show for my liking. And I think he's going to win the league.
I apologize. Okay. He's a center.
Doesn't matter. He's going to make you eat your words again this year. Leon Draisaitl is my pick to win the Hart Trophy, which would be his second in three years. Mm-hmm. If he wins, that would be pretty good. Not that far fetched to pick Leon Draisaitl to win league MVP. What about a cup final prediction? Give me the two teams you think are going to make it to the Stanley Cup final when it is all said and done. Omar, try to resist putting the Leafs in this one if you can.
Can I not go first?
You don't want to go first?
I don't want to go first. Because okay, my mind is telling me one thing, my heart's telling me another.
I did not expect that to come
your
out.
Your mind's telling you no way.
Yeah. Hey. No, we are not going there. No. Strike that from the tape. Oh, Sam, start with you, please.
I am going to say, I feel like this is really hard in the East to pick a team.
It is hard in the East, but I have a team in mind.
I'm going to do the same thing I did last year. I'm going to say Colorado, Florida.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you think the Panthers are going to wake up and...
God, I hope so.
Yes. There, jeez. With Matthew Tkachuk there, Paul Maurice is there. They don't have Jonathan Huberdeau anymore. But remember, this is a team that was like the best in the league last year. And
they got fleeced. That's what happened. They got fleeced.
You got
they got murdered on that trade. Murdered. Murder, she wrote. Man, it's a class five massacre. They signed the
ball. Can you please say murder again, but like say it in like a heavy patois accent?
Murder. Like
murderer.
Both of them signed. They lost the deal. I don't care what Tkachuk does.
I actually agree with that.
As soon as they signed both, they lost the trade. If they signed one and the other and another one walked, I'd be like, okay. They got both and a first and another prospect who might play games for them, murdered. That killed.
I mean, you have to play the games, right? I mean, Matthew Tkachuk could still be a 40-goal player in Florida. Might get more goals or points than Jonathan Huberdeau.
Okay, and then if Huberdeau does the same thing he did last year, and then if Mackenzie Weegar puts up like 60 points, then...
That's true. That is true. But, I mean, Matthew Tkachuk is younger than all those players, if memory serves.
That's true.
You know, I'm not necessarily agreeing that the trade is fleecing. I'm just trying to be devil's advocate in this situation.
Yeah.
He could be better for a longer period of time.
Yeah, it's true. You know, if I was holding like a knife and I fell on the knife and the knife was in my chest, I could say, I'm fine.
What?
Nothing's wrong.
I'm trying to say that
even if you say you're not murdered, it's still a murder. That was a tough one.
Avery, do you have a Stanley Cup final prediction that involves no blunt objects?
Wow. All right. You know, I showed them love last week, so I'm going to stick with my prediction of the New York Rangers taking on the Colorado Avalanche in this year's Cup final.
Okay, that was the other team I was going to say. Those are my last two.
The Rangers are really good, man. Is this podcast the New York Rangers? I don't want to say a New York Rangers podcast, but are we pro New York Rangers this year? All of us?
I am, at least.
Because I am. I think Omar is.
Here's the thing.
Oh, boy.
So, Julian, you mentioned this at the beginning of this isn't a rant, I promise.
That's fine.
You mentioned something at the beginning of the episode, a certain event that took place, an event that we could all say was very leafy, that happened to a team in another league.
Toronto Blue Jays.
So you have that, and also the fact that this year is going to be the 10-year anniversary of the first Game 7.
Yes, that's true.
But with that being said.
Yes.
Leafs Flames Stanley Cup final.
Whoa!
Wow.
Whoa, he did it.
And again, I just want to make it clear for anyone who watched the Zone Time, I have never put the Leafs in the Stanley Cup final. I've never done it.
He's never done it.
I'm doing it this year. Leafs Flames Stanley Cup final.
Oh, it's my God.
Kadri takes on his former, like all the storylines, all Canadian Stanley Cup final, whatever.
Oh, my God.
I'm saying it. That's my prediction.
Omar just broke out the most anti-Edmontonian Cup final prediction yet. That's the most anti-Edmontonian Cup final. Toronto, Calgary, Edmonton will burn down if it ever happens.
Vancouver will just burn stuff down because that's just what they're built to do anyway.
You have to get to the finals before you burn anything down.
Yeah, that's what you think they do, but you know, maybe. Colorado New York Rangers is very much my pick too, but I love the fact that Omar was willing to go Calgary Toronto. That like I like that. I love this. And
I'd be so on board with that.
I'm on board with it too. The Calgary Flames are a team that's trying to be this must-win team. The Toronto Maple Leafs, after years of futility, failing to get out of the first round, not only would they finally get the job done, they go to the final, and anxiety would be on an absolute 10. Could you imagine us doing like Zone Time episodes during a Flames Leafs Stanley Cup final? Can you imagine that?
Can I just say one thing? And yes. I'm asking people of the internet just to be, if this is wrong, please don't like clip this and dunk on me. I'll be sad enough. Just like just take the fact that I know there's like a 95% chance I'm to be wrong. So just let me exist in the pain if things go south again. But that's my prediction.
Okay. I have Colorado repeating as Stanley Cup champion. Avery, do you have Colorado repeating or do you have the Rangers winning?
I have New York in seven. I have New York in a seven game series winning the Stanley Cup. They're first in 94.
Yeah, that would be incredible. I was probably 2 months old the last time that they won a Stanley Cup. Omar, Calgary, Toronto win the Stanley Cup. If you really want to get people up into it, you pick Toronto to win the Stanley Cup this year. You put yourself in this position.
I have to say the Leafs because, again, if they make the final and they lose, I will not survive.
I have
to go all in. I'm saying they're making the final. Let's say they win in seven. Why not?
I'll tell you this, actually. Calgary, Toronto, Stanley Cup final. That means I get to be in the building for this. So, yes. Like,
there you go.
Oh, dude, like, I'll be happy for that. But also, man, if the Leafs lose that Stanley Cup final, man, I'm coming over.
It'll be so hard to see the bright side. It'll be so hard. I know everyone would be like, oh, you know, they made it, it's growth. But I'd be like, they were so close.
Sam, like, who's right winning there. The Stanley Cup final?
The Avs.
Okay, so yeah. Two Avs, one for the Rangers, and a fearless Toronto Maple Leafs Stanley Cup prediction. I hope you know, like, maybe we won't clip this, but we are going to make mention of the fact that you did pick the Leafs to win the Stanley Cup this year.
Yeah, that's okay. In, like, November when they're on, like, a 10-game losing streak or whatever.
Hey, guys, remember when Omar said they're going to win the Stanley Cup? Sheldon Keefe, no longer head coach.
Interim coach Dave Haxtell.
Oh, my God. Imagine.
Oh, God, is that Peter Horacek again?
Yo.
Interim coach Mike Keenan comes out of
retirement. Listen, man. The Pete Horacek era was a top 10 fun moment as a Leafs fan. That was so cool. Just like cheering for losses, like actively, was so sick. And this man, listen, the way this man threw his hands up when he got that first win as a coach, he needed that. Like, yeah, like he needed that. And at the same time, we're all seething because we're like, no. You wanted a lot. That was such a good tank. Oh, so fun. Good times.
Now you're in the end game now because something has to happen this year.
Yep.
It's going to be fun, though. And we're going to have episodes all throughout this NHL season to talk about all the fun stuff that goes down, including when the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, maybe a win streak, maybe a losing streak. Who knows? We're definitely going to talk about them a lot. And the Flames and the Avs and the Oilers and everyone else. Avery. This coming weekend, the first battle of Alberta battle. Looking forward to chopping it up in the press box with you, my man.
Yes, sir.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, man.
As am I, Julian.
We got to get some dinner plans in.
No, totally. Yeah, it'll be our first time meeting in person.
Telling you, man. I don't know, man. Just everyone's gonna eventually meet each other from Zone Time. It's eventually going to happen, and I'm looking forward to that. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Zone Time. Thank you very much for listening or watching this episode, either on the Yahoo Sports NHL YouTube page or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Enjoy the start of the NHL season, which technically started last week with those games in Europe, but you know what I mean.
Did anyone forget about that?
I thought they were preseason games.
They count
for
2 points.
I was like, those are real games.
I had no idea that they were actually counted. I was like, oh, okay, cool, sweet.
Do you know how I figured out they were real games?
Fantasy?
Yeah.
That's how I say it.
My league drafted on Friday, and we were all like, wait, why are we starting in the second week? Yeah.
I got points. I was like, wait, how do I have points? Like, oh, these are actual games. Oh, okay.
Well, there will be more games that will start for real this week. But, peace, guys.
You know, the best way to grow the game is people to not know you're playing.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love this game so much.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.